If you wanted a title, this one is real easy. Rocks. Real simple rocks. John chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 2. This is a story that I know that you know, and this is where we're going to take off from. John chapter 8, starting in verse 2. Now, early in the morning, he being Jesus, came into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something to which accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convinced by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and a woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence, we recognize that we are all sinners. And Lord, we also recognize that we really have no right to condemn anyone else. And Lord, we thank you for the great salvation and forgiveness that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be the people that Christ would have us to be, guided by your Holy Spirit and led by your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Pharisees were a very interesting, the scribes and the Pharisees were some very interesting people. You can kind of see how they got to be how they were because of what had happened in the history of Israel. Because in 586 B.C., because of all of the sin and everything that had happened in the nation, God finally said, "I've had enough of you people, and it's over." And the Babylonians came, and Nebuchadnezzar, and they laid siege to Jerusalem, and they took a lot of the Hebrews, the Israelites, captive, and took them into Babylon, and then they finally just totally destroyed the city. And took them out. And you can read all that in, you know, starting with Jeremiah as he's crying about it, then Ezekiel and in the prophets there, what happened. And then along would come Cyrus. And Cyrus would say, "You all can go back. Can go back to Israel. Those of you that want to go back, you can go back." And so then Nehemiah, he goes back to rebuild the wall, and Ezra goes back to reestablish the nation. But the reality was there was only 2%. If you look at the numbers, only 2% of the population that lived in Babylon actually went back to Israel. The Pharisees and the scribes come from that history. And they said, "You know, we really messed up. And so we're going to make sure that we don't do that again." And so God in his Bible gave them 613 commandments. We're going to give you about 10,000 more in what's called the Mishnah and the Talmud to make sure that you don't break any of these 613 so we don't go back into exile again. And that's kind of how the Pharisees got and the scribes got where they were at, because they saw what God had done, the punishment they had received, and they were like, "If we just make some more rules, then we won't break these rules and God won't punish us anymore." But you know what happens when we make a lot of rules? More opportunities to break them. Mm-hmm. More opportunities to break them. That's right. And so they became so very rule-oriented and looking at everybody. Did you look in the mirror on Saturday morning? Because remember, Saturday was a Sabbath for them. You can't look in the mirror on Saturday morning because that's like work. You can't do this and you can't do that. You can't cook. You can't do all these things. And so they're always looking. And so for Jesus, they were always looking for that opportunity. And they were always ready to pounce. And so here was another opportunity. They find this woman caught in the very act of adultery. The guy gets away, but they found her. And they drag her in front of Jesus, and they throw her there, and they say, "We caught her in the act, and the Bible says that Moses says that we're supposed to stone her. And so we got our stones here. We got them. We're ready to go. All you got to do is say the word, and we'll have a rock party. We'll rock her right to sleep." Jesus kneels on the ground and begins to write. He sees the hate in their hearts, the contempt for a human being. My Bible says, "For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And he kneels down and he writes. We don't know what he wrote. And they keep badgering him. "Come on. The Old Testament says we got a stoner. What do you say?" Finally, he rises up and he says, "He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." And he stooped down again. And in verse 9 it says, "Then those who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience." See, the Holy Spirit's not inside of them. It's just their conscience. Their conscience knows what it is. The Spirit's not inside them. The conscience, the Spirit pricks the conscience, and then that's how Jesus gets in. "They went out one by one, beginning with the oldest to the youngest." And they dropped their stones until there was no one left but Jesus and the woman. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, where are your accusers?" "There are none, Lord." He says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." He didn't condone her sin. He told her to go and sin no more. See, some people walk around with stones. They walk around with them because they're ready to throw them at other people. And usually they're ready to throw them at other people because the reality is they really want to take this stone and smash themselves. Because they don't feel good about who they are. "But I feel better if I take and I throw it at somebody else. So if I can't throw it at you, then I'll hit myself." And it's a very, very sad, sad way of life to live. See, Jesus said, "I came to give you life and give it to you abundantly." Abundant life isn't looking to take and throw a stone at somebody. An abundant life isn't wanting to take a stone and bash yourself because you're not good enough. Jesus Christ died on the cross because you are. Because you are His. Because He created you. Because He loves you. and he died on that cross for you. And guess what? He died on a cross for every person that you see anywhere, everywhere you go. Whether they smell good, look good, are dressed to the nines and they're whatever. That's the people that Jesus died for. And he doesn't want us to be carrying stones. Not these kind of stones. So you gotta let them go. But there is a stone. Being in the military for 20 years, normally you have a unit coin. So when I retired, Robin gave me a coin that's a picture of the armor of God. I keep that in my pocket. People that smoke, apparently, a lot of times they'll chew on straws or toothpicks or something like that because they're used to having something up there in their mouth. Well, I think sometimes for people with that are used to carrying stones around, you need to find another stone, a different stone to carry. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 16, in verses 17 and 18, this is a story where Jesus is with his disciples and they're at Caesarea Philippi, and he asks them, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And some said, this is starting in verse 14, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." See in verse 18, he says to you that you are Peter, and on this rock. The rock he's talking about is not Peter. It's not that Peter is the Pope and everything's passed down through him. What he was saying is, upon this statement of your faith, that I am the Son of the living God, that is what it is. The rock that we need to hold on to. That rock that if we need something in our pocket, if we're used to carrying something around with us, we just got really used to doing that, and always having it in our pocket and got used to having that weight. The rock we need to hold on to is Jesus Christ. We need to hold on to him. I want to go back for just a minute, back to the other way. When I came in, JD asked me about if this was my lunch. And I gave him, I said, "Here, hold this for a minute." And he said, "Well, that's kind of heavy." Sometimes we do carry a whole lot of rocks around. We'll carry those things. Those things that either against ourselves, against other people. You remember the show, The Biggest Loser? No. People would go out and they'd come in, they were really huge, and then after these, you know, drill sergeant-like people would work with them for 3 months or whatever, they'd get smaller. One of my favorite, one of the times I saw that I thought was really good was they took and they had them do a race, but they had them put on these suits that made them weigh what they originally weighed when they got there. And as they would do different things, then they could throw off so much weight. The same thing is true with us. If you're carrying around one of those rocks of contempt or hate or unforgiveness for somebody or for yourself, all you're doing is weighting yourself down. And you can't have the joy and the peace. You can't have that abundant life that Jesus Christ wants you to have because you're weighted down with stuff that's not supposed to be there. But when we let go of it, when we let go of those things, You're wondering, how many more rocks does he have in that bag? When we let go of those things and we hold on to the rock, we hold on to the fact that it was Jesus Christ who was born of the Virgin in a manger in Bethlehem. You know, basically, Jesus was born in a barn. I don't know. I was asked as a child, were you born in a barn? I'm like, Mom, you were there. You know where I was born. Jesus was born in a barn. But he was born there because he wasn't born in the palace. He was born in the lowliest state you could be, in that feed trough. I hope somebody cleaned it out because those things are nasty. He never had a home that he could call his own. He stayed with people. He lived in this earth. The writer Hebrews tells us, tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. And that's what God wants for us. And God doesn't expect us to be sinless. He knows that we're going to screw up. Paul was pretty good. He got to the point where he said, I die daily. For some of us, it's more like every 5 minutes we have to because we the way we live. But we need to hold on to that rock. Because if you go back a little bit further to the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, in Matthew 7, starting in verse 24, Jesus says this, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and he's talking about what he said here in the Sermon on the Mount, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on what? The rock. Build your house upon the rock. And the rain descends, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descends, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat that house, and it fell, and that fall was great. See, folks, living our life is really fairly simple. Do you trust Jesus? I'm not going to drop this one, okay? Do you drop those rocks that God doesn't want you to drop or doesn't want you to carry? You drop all the unforgiveness, hate, contempt, those things. And you hold on to that rock of Jesus Christ. That thing that you can only hold on to and sometimes is most precious when there's nothing else in the world to hold on to. And I think we've all been there. That time where you're like, God, you're all I got. And you hold on to him. And you know what? He will hold on to you. And he will not let you go. And he will keep you. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is your house built on the rock? I hope so. Because he's there for you. He's there for you. He loves you. And he will never let you go. Just let go of those rocks in your life that are getting in your way.